Thanks for listening to this message from the life of St. Bees. We're a church that loves to empower, equip and inspire. And in order to better fulfill this call, we're currently undertaking an audacious church relocation project. Find out more, including how you can take part, at www.goandgrow.london. Thank you, and may this message better help you to live a life full of adventurous faith.
Well, as Henry said, it's the end of the summer. We're into the autumn term now, so that means it's also the end of our season of summer preachers. And I just wanted to take the opportunity of publicly acknowledging what an amazing bunch of summer preachers we have each year. One of the things that I get to do every summer is to run a preacher's workshop to help to prepare our summer preachers for the task that we invite them to do. And every year I'm impressed by the diligence and the dedication that they show as they prepare for and present as summer preachers. And so to all who served us in that way, some of whom may even be here this morning, thank you so much for all that you brought to us this year. Although I wasn't here to hear all of them, from those that I did hear and the reports of others that I heard about and look forward to listening to via download, I can say we're really blessed to have such a great bunch of people preaching to us every summer. So thank you to those who've served us in that way. But today, it's back to the regular St. Barnabas preaching team, also known as the usual suspects, who should appear any moment. There we go, the usual suspects take over once again, and I get to kick off the term. Now, many, many, many years ago, back in the 1970s, when I was a student at London Bible College, the man who was then the principal at London Bible College, a man by the name of Gilbert Kirby, gave us a particular piece of advice about preaching. He said, if you are training to be a pastor or a church leader and you're going to be preaching regularly, make sure that you listen to or watch regularly one radio or TV program that would be designated as a soap opera. That was the advice that he gave us. In those days, the choice was quite limited, and I think he cited The Archers or Coronation Street as being examples of the sort of programs that he would advise us to watch. His reasoning was this. He said, whilst most people in your congregations will deny that they listen to or watch these programs, if you use storylines from these soap operas as examples in your preaching, then almost inevitably people will recognize the characters and identify with them. And so, this morning, I am willing to confess that purely to be an obedient student to the principal of the Bible College, and for no other reason than to be a help to you, Anne and I have been known to watch.
Neighbors, everybody needs good neighbors with a little understanding. You can find
and I can almost tell from the lips that were almost moving and the smiles on certain faces that we're probably not the only ones who have been known from time to time to watch. So just keep that image in your mind of that screenshot of the Neighbours opening credits as I tell you what we're going to be doing this morning. What I'm going to do this morning is to give you a kind of a sneak preview, a taster, if you like, of what's coming up in the term ahead. So what do we have in store for you? Well, Slayer has already pointed out to you our program and directory for the autumn term, a very important document. A lot of work is done, mainly by Margaret, to pull this together, and it's a very, very key piece of paper for you to have. So if you haven't got one, do make sure you get one before you leave. And if you've picked one of these up and looked at it, you will have noticed that in the next couple of weeks, there are a couple of really important events in the life of St. Barnabas, because in the next couple of weeks, we have our Vision Sunday and our Resourcing Sunday coming up. Those are the two Sundays in the year where on the first one, we'll be hearing from Henry about what God has been putting on our hearts as the vision for St. Barnabas for the coming term, the coming year. In fact, the coming years, not just the coming year. And also the Sunday when we get to share with you how you can get to be involved in helping to make it all happen. And so the first sneak preview that I want to give you shouldn't come as a surprise to you. One of the things that we believe God has put on our hearts, that Henry will be no doubt referring to on Vision Sunday, is that we believe that in the coming year, we want to be starting more neighborhood missional communities. If you remember, when we started missional communities, which was about 4 or 5 years ago, we said that there would be three types of missional community. We said that there would be some missional communities that would have a missional focus that would be a network of people. And so we've had missional communities with that focus. So if you look at another part of the program, you'll see that there is actually a list of our missional communities in the directory. And you'll see there that we have a number of network missional communities. So we've had the East Asian missional community reaching out to people from that part of the world. We've had La Roca, our missional community that reaches out to the Spanish and Portuguese speaking community. We've had the Finchley Jam reaching out to musicians through a monthly jam session in the High Road. And then two more recently started missional communities. We've had God at Work, a missional community for those who see their place of work as their main place of mission. And the Families Missional Community for those who want to be reaching out to families. And I guess that many of those people are going to be involved in the family worship gathering that's happening in the parish hall. And so we've had network-based missional communities. We also said that there would be some missional communities that would have a missional focus that was a need. And so we've also had a missional community that has been reaching out to the homeless, our homeless outreach missional community. And we've also had a prison ministry missional community. Both of those reaching out to people whose lives have been affected either by homelessness or by themselves being in prison or by a member of their family having been in prison. We've got a missional community reaching out in those areas. And one thing that didn't get into the bulletin, our prison ministry missional community this Wednesday is having an evening where there's a talk by someone from the organization Caring for Ex-Offenders. And so if that's an area that you felt you would like to be involved in helping people who have been in prison, who maybe have come to faith whilst in prison, who then want to get involved in a local church when they come back out of prison, then there's an evening on Wednesday that you could get involved in through our prison ministry missional community. But the third group was, we said we would have some missional communities where their focus would be a neighborhood. In other words, a geographical area. And so we've had N12, which is the missional community that reaches out to the area immediately around St. Barnabas. And we've had the Enfield neighborhood missional community, which, there's a clue in the name, reaches out to Enfield. And they will be meeting this morning. They meet on the second Sunday of the month. And so they'll be meeting even as we're meeting. So we pray God's blessing on them. So those are the two missional communities that we have at the moment that are reaching out into neighborhoods. And we believe that in the coming year, we want to focus on starting more neighborhood missional communities. And that's why a few times during the last term, we invited you all to do things here in the services that were based on our postcode areas. Remember, we put that map up on the screen and we got you into different parts of the building according to your postcode. And so we prayed together in postcode groups, or we shared communion together in postcode groups. And we had opportunity to find out more about the people who live in the same area that we live in. And we're going to be doing more of that this term, and indeed for the whole of the year, between now and the summer, because we're going to be focusing on this area of reaching out to our neighborhoods, the places where we live. And so if we're going to be reaching out to our neighborhoods, then there is a clue in the word as to which group of people we need to be thinking about. Can you work it out from the word neighborhood, which group of people we need to be thinking about? Well, there was a clue earlier in the service as well, wasn't there? Yes, it will be our neighbors, of course. And that's why we need to watch programs like Neighbors, because they equip us for the work of mission and ministry in the kingdom of God. We're going to be thinking about our neighbors. So that's the first sneak preview of one of the things that will be happening this term and this year that Henry will, as I say, no doubt mention again on Vision Sunday, the desire to start more neighborhood missional communities. But if we come back to our program and directory, because it is such a useful document, you'll notice then that later in the term, starting in October, there is going to be a sermon series based on the Old Testament book of Proverbs. It's mentioned there. A series entitled Proverbs, Ancient Wisdom for Modern Living. And so the next sneak preview that I want to give you is about that series. We're going to be looking together into the book of Proverbs. So that feels like a good moment to have a Bible reading. And we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. Which you can find on page 605 of the Church Bibles. If you haven't got a copy of the Church Bible and you would like to have one to follow the reading, just raise a hand and our hospitality team will come and give you a Bible. And so if you want to follow it, it's on page 605 of the Church Bibles. And you'll see that in the Church Bibles, this section is entitled Purpose and Theme. So that's really helpful if we're going to be having a series on the book of Proverbs. These first seven verses tell us something about the purpose of the book of Proverbs and the theme of the book of Proverbs. So let's just read those first seven verses of Proverbs chapter 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent or wise behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And so as we see in those first seven verses, the Proverbs are attributed to Solomon. Solomon, who is the son of King David, who himself then became king of Israel. Solomon reigned from about 970 to 930 BC, so we're looking at someone who lived almost 3,000 years ago. That's why we've called this series Ancient Wisdom, because the wisdom that we're going to be looking at comes from someone who lived 3,000 years ago. Now, the Bible tells us about Solomon that very early in his reign as king, God appeared to him. And God effectively said to Solomon, "Ask me for whatever you want, blank check. Whatever you want, I will give it to you." And Solomon asked for wisdom. He said to God, "If I'm going to do this job that you've asked me to do, if I'm going to lead your people, I need wisdom." And so we read also in the Bible in 1 Kings 4, God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the people of the East, and greater than all the wisdom of Egypt, and his fame spread to all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs. Now, that's not a bad go. That's quite good going, really, isn't it? 3,000 proverbs, and we have a selection of them in the book of Proverbs. So just as a wild guess, how many of Solomon's 3,000 proverbs do you think have made it into the book of Proverbs? Just a wild guess, just purely for interest. How many of them do you think there are in the book of Proverbs? He wrote 3,000, so how many made it in? 300, I've got 300. Any bids other than 300? 500, you're closer. 455 by my reckoning. I went through and counted them this week. You could do the same. Just read through the book of Proverbs and count the Proverbs as you go. It's a good exercise. So I reckon 455 of Solomon's 3,000 Proverbs made it into the book of Proverbs. And so Solomon, this amazingly wise person who lived 3,000 years ago, shares his ancient wisdom with us through the book of Proverbs. And there's something in the book of Proverbs for all of us. If you think of yourself as basically quite a simple sort of a person, or maybe someone who is quite young, either young in years or young in the faith, then Proverbs has got something for you, because there is wisdom and knowledge for the simple and the young. But if you're thinking, well, actually, I'm quite a wise person. I'm not a simple person. I'm a wise person. I'm actually quite a discerning person. Well, there's something in there for you, because we're told that those who are wise and discerning can get even more wisdom and can get learning and guidance. So whether you are simple or wise, young or old, discerning or undiscerning, really makes no difference. There is going to be something in the book of Proverbs for you. Now, if there was time, I could tell you even more about the book of Proverbs to help you understand the type of book that it is. But rather than that, I'm going to point you to a resource. It's one that Ryan pointed me to, and I'm really grateful to Ryan for pointing it out. It's a little 8-minute video that you can watch online. It's produced by an organization called the Bible Project, and the way to find it is when you go home, not now during the service, please, on your phones, but when you get home, get to a computer or a tablet or whatever, go to YouTube, and into the search bar on YouTube, just type in Bible Project Proverbs. And if you put that into the search bar in YouTube, it will bring up, probably, I hope, as the first thing on the list, a little 8-minute video that is an introduction to the book of Proverbs that is absolutely excellent, well worth watching and listening to. So rather than me take 8 minutes to do it, I'm pointing you to that. Go to the websites. Look at that YouTube Bible Project Proverbs, and you'll get a great 8-minute introduction to the book of Proverbs. I watched it earlier, and it is excellent, and there were just two phrases in it that stood out for me. The first was this, that they said the book of Proverbs contains practical skills for living well in God's world. That's what Proverbs is all about. It's a very practical book. Practical skills for living well in God's world. And the second phrase was that living well in God's world begins with what the book of Proverbs calls the fear of the Lord. We had it in our reading this morning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Living well in God's world begins with the fear of the Lord. And they explain what is meant by the fear of the Lord in this little phrase, humility before God. I think that's a brilliant summary of what the book of Proverbs is all about. Practical skills for living well in God's world that begin with humility before God. And if you look again at the program and directory, you'll see some of the subjects that we're going to be looking at as we go through the book of Proverbs. We're going to be looking at things like food and drink, raising great kids, friends and friendships, gossip and slander, singleness, and a number of other subjects. And it really is amazing, isn't it, that 3,000 years ago, these were the issues that Solomon felt he needed to address. And here we are in 2016, and all of them are just as relevant for modern living as they were when they were written 3,000 years ago. So I'm really looking forward both to preaching parts of the series and listening to my colleagues preach other parts, because in this book of Proverbs, we're going to find ancient wisdom that is really, really relevant for our modern living. We're going to find practical skills for living well in God's world that begin with humility before God. So that's the second sneak preview. We're going to be looking into the book of Proverbs. So then I thought, what if we put these two sneak previews together? We've already said that we're going to be reaching out to our neighborhoods, and so we need to be thinking about our neighbors. So that's the focus of the neighborhood missional communities. We're going to be reaching out to our neighbors. So the question is, does the book of Proverbs contain any ancient wisdom for modern living on the subject of how to relate well to our neighbors? And not surprisingly, it does. And so for the last few minutes this morning, that's what we're going to look at. Because in the words of that well-known worship song, everybody needs good neighbors. Oh no, it's not a worship song, is it? That's a theme tune to Neighbors. They're so similar, aren't they? You could sing it, couldn't you? There we are. Everybody needs good neighbors. And some of the teaching of Proverbs about how to relate well to our neighbors is just simple and obvious. And some of it bears a little bit more looking at. And so what I want to give you this morning is three of the simple and obvious ones, and then three that we'll look at in just a little bit more detail. So let's start with the simple and obvious ones. The first is in Proverbs 26. Solomon says this: like a maniac shooting flaming arrows of death is the one who deceives the neighbor and says, "Hey, I was only joking." That's just plain common sense, isn't it? It's just good, plain common sense. Don't mess with your neighbors. Don't lie to them. And then try and get out of it by saying, "Hey, I was only joking." You know, that's just not a good way to deal with your neighbors, is it? Just plain common sense. So another one, very simple and obvious in Proverbs 3. Do not say to your neighbor, "Come back tomorrow and I'll give it to you," when you already have it with you. Now, it doesn't matter what it is. If your neighbor is asking you for help and you're able to help them now, do so. Don't say, "Oh, come back tomorrow. I can't do it today. Come back." Help them right away. Be a good neighbor. If your neighbor asks you for help and you can do it right away, says Solomon. It's just good, practical common sense. Or another one, a very simple and obvious one, again in Proverbs 3. Do not plot harm against your neighbor who lives trustfully near you. Don't abuse your neighbor's trust. You'll have a certain working arrangement, a certain understanding with your neighbors that you'll do this and they'll do that. Don't abuse that. If they trust you, don't abuse your neighbor's trust. It's really just good, practical, common sense. But then there are three that I think are a little bit more thought-provoking. And those are the ones we're just going a little bit longer on. So here's the first one of the more thought-provoking ones. Proverbs 25:17. Seldom set foot in your neighbor's house. Too much of you, and they will hate you. And that's fairly blunt, isn't it? The New Living Translation puts it like this: don't visit your neighbors too often, or you will wear out your welcome. I think this is a really important one for us to start with. Because if we're going to start thinking about how we can relate well to our neighbors, our literal physical neighbors, the people who live in the same street or the same block of flats, this is a really important principle. Let me sort of paint a picture for you. You see, this term, this year, we start talking together about how we can be good neighbors, and we encourage one another to start thinking about our actual neighbors, the people who live in the same street, the same block. And hopefully as we do that, some of us will feel God speaking to us and stirring us up, and we'll get fired up, hopefully, about being better neighbors. And maybe we'll even get hold of some helpful resources. There are some really good resources out there. One to mention is a book called The Art of Neighboring. Some of you immediately will resist it because they've spelt neighboring the American way. Be gracious. Be forgiving. Even Americans have neighbors, and so we can allow them to spell it their way. It's an excellent book, even if you don't like the spelling of the word neighboring. It's a book that I know our Enfield neighborhood missional community studied together as they were thinking about how they could be good neighbors living there in Enfield. And so you may want to find it helpful to get a book like that and to start to read it. And so we start getting fired up about being better neighbors. And we identify one of our neighbors as our first... Now that's interesting, isn't it? Our first what? How do we finish that sentence? Our first challenge. Our first project. This doesn't really sound like the right sort of language. It's certainly better than target and infinitely better than victim. You know, we're not talking about our first victim. Or our first. So let's just... not think of a word, because we don't want to start thinking of our neighbors as projects and challenges, and certainly not as targets and victims. We just want to start thinking them as people that we could get to know and be good neighbors to. So let's not think of a word to finish that sentence. So, you know, fired up by what we've been talking about and by what I've read on Monday, I go and knock on my neighbor's door and I invite them to come round to my house. Why don't you come round for a cup of coffee? And they come. So on Tuesday, I do the same. And I knock on their door and suggest that not only do they come round for a coffee, but they might like to stay for a meal as well the next day. And so on Wednesday, I knock on their door and there's no answer. But God has spoken to me about my neighbor, so I persist. And after the third quite loud and persistent knock, they finally open the door slightly, and I remind them that, hey, you're coming round to mine for a meal tonight. Is that all right? Yeah. And eventually they come round, you know, arriving a little bit later than expected and making some comment about not being able to stay long because they need to get back to prune their bonsai trees or something. And then as we're talking, they mention a film that's just been released. And I say to them, that's great, let's go and see it together tomorrow. And we get my phone out and I start to try and book the tickets right away. What is going through my neighbor's mind at this moment? Get me out of here. What on earth is happening? They're thinking to themselves, you've lived next door to me for 7 years and you've barely acknowledged my existence. We've been at BAE, barely acknowledged existence state, and you want to get to BFF, best friend forever, in 4 days. It doesn't work like that. You can't go from BAE to BFF in 4 days. You've got to invest time and do it slowly. And so there's some ancient wisdom for modern living. Don't visit your neighbors too often, or you'll wear out your welcome. If we're going to be good neighbors, that means building real relationships, good friendships, where we take things slowly. Don't try to go from nothing to everything in a short period of time. Don't expect close personal friendship to happen overnight. It takes time. But if you take the time and you persist, who knows what might happen? Because sitting on our front row, we have two people who used to be neighbors. And then they became good friends. Now they're man and wife. So who knows what might happen if you become a good neighbor? You can tell them, you can get the story from them later. But I think basically it goes like this. Claudio spotted Celia. For a year, Celia did not know that Claudio existed. But eventually, through a mutual friend, they got to know each other. And good neighbors became good friends. And good friends remain good friends forever. So congratulations on being good neighbors who became good friends. So who knows what might happen? This is not an advert for how to find a life partner. It's just making the point. Give it time. Give them time. Don't overdo it. Don't visit your neighbor too often, or you'll wear out your welcome, says Solomon. There are two other bits of wisdom in this book for us to look at, and they're both found in the same chapter in Proverbs 27. I'm not going to read the passage for the sake of time, but the one that I want to go to next is Proverbs chapter 27, verse 14. This is actually one of my personal favorite proverbs. When I was a student at London Bible College all those years ago, I actually had this verse printed out, and I put it on the door of my bedroom. And in those days, it was in the Revised Standard Version, and it said this: "He who blesses his neighbor with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, will be counted as cursing." I thought that was a great verse to have printed on my bedroom door in the hall of residence at Bible College. The NIV: "If anyone loudly blesses their neighbor early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse." That's a good bit of ancient wisdom for modern living, isn't it? And we can apply it in any number of ways. You can apply it literally, and I would encourage you to do so. If God wakes you up at 4 o'clock in the morning and puts a burden on your heart to pray blessing on your neighbors, can I suggest that you stay in the quietness of your house to do so, and do not go and stand outside their window at 4 o'clock in the morning loudly praying God's blessing on them? Because even though you may be praying a blessing on them, it will be received as a curse, and you will probably get a few curses coming back through the window at you. Or just be sensitive to such things as, if you do have a group of your Christian friends around in an evening, as we sometimes do, and you decide to worship together, and you're playing some music quite loudly, do check with your neighbors whether it's past the kids' bedtime and you're going to be waking the kids up. It's simple, practical stuff like that, isn't it? Being a good neighbor. Don't think to yourself, we are worshiping God. Nothing must come between us and the worship of God. These pagans who surround us will be won for Christ by the volume of our worship. No, they won't. They will not regard your loud singing as a blessing. If you have just woken up their kids and their kids are awake for the rest of the night, that will not be a blessing, but a curse to them. And Proverbs is saying, be sensitive. Don't assume that because you think what you're doing is a good thing, worshiping God, then it's going to bless your neighbors. So if your neighbors have got young kids, don't have noisy worship gatherings or other noisy events late at night. But just let's follow that through and look at it at a different level. Let's assume that this person that Solomon is talking about in Proverbs really and genuinely does want to bless their neighbor, because that's a good place to start. Being a good neighbor says, how can I bless my neighbor? How can I be a blessing to my neighbor? Because that's what we want, isn't it? And they may not use the word blessing, but what you want surely is this: that when the day comes that you decide that it's time to move house and move out of the neighborhood, and you tell your neighbors that you're moving, they don't go, oh, good for that, I'm so pleased you're going. But they say, oh, that's a shame, we've really enjoyed having you as neighbors. And that's what we want, isn't it? To be such good neighbors who bless our neighbors in such a way that when we do move, they say, oh, it's a shame you're going, we've really appreciated having you as neighbors. So how do we bless our neighbors? And I think what this verse in Proverbs, this bit of ancient wisdom, is saying to us is, look for ways that will bless your neighbors that are things that they will appreciate, not just the things that you think are good. And don't assume that because you like something, they will like it. Don't assume that because you want something, they will want it. You actually need to get to know them and find out what they like. Find out the things that would be a blessing to them. And then do those things. And you'll find that out in conversation. It may just be an aside. It may just be a reference that they make to something that they really enjoyed, something that they did that they really enjoyed, that you can just store that piece of information away and think, I'll remember that, because in the future there may be an opportunity for me to do something that would be something they would enjoy. Maybe they happen to mention to you their favorite wine. Mine is Rioja, just in case you ever need to know. A good oak-aged Rioja always goes down well. Maybe they mention that. And so when you actually find out, you just also remember that they said to you, it's our wedding anniversary last week. And you think, oh, it's too late to do it, but you store the information for next year. And the next year, there's just a bottle of their favourite wine on the doorstep with a happy anniversary card, because it's a way of blessing them that they enjoy. Or maybe they just happen to mention something that they're finding difficult. Maybe you've got an elderly neighbour who can no longer trim the hedge or clear the path of snow in the winter, or whatever it is, the things that they say they're struggling with, that you think, I could do that. I could help with that. Or they just happen to mention a young family who've moved in who mentioned that they really need such and such for their kids. And you think, well, we've got one of those in the loft because we used to have that when our kids were young and we don't use it any longer. We could offer that to them, see if it's a blessing to them. So you're finding the ways to bless your neighbors that they appreciate, not just doing the things that you think you would like. So that's ancient wisdom for modern living. If anyone loudly blesses their neighbor early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse, or in my words, bless your neighbors in ways that they regard as a blessing. And the third and final bit of wisdom, also from Proverbs 27, is this. Proverbs 27, verse 10. Do not go to your relative's house when disaster strikes you. Better a neighbor nearby than a relative far away. This is an interesting one, isn't it? Because most of us are brought up to think that it's our family that we should turn to for help. You know, when things go wrong, when we're in need, we tend to think we should turn to our family, and we have an expectation that we will help family and family will help us. We've even got our own proverbs on the subject in our culture. Blood is thicker than water. Family counts more than anything else. Charity begins at home. We've got our own proverbs that underline our thinking that it's family you look to first for help and family that you try and help first. But this changes that. And some of us have also gone down the route of thinking, well, I'm a Christian, the church is my family, that's where I turn to for help. When I'm in need, I'll turn to my Christian brothers and sisters for help. That's the first place I think of turning to. But this bit of ancient wisdom for modern living suggests a different approach. Better a neighbor nearby than a member of the family, whether that's physical family or spiritual family, far away. Let me give you a couple of examples. When we were living in Woking, before we moved up here, the extractor fan that was fitted into our bathroom window gave up the ghost. I'd repaired it a couple of times, but finally, despite all my efforts to revive it, some would say because of my efforts to revive it, it didn't survive any longer, and it finally simply stopped working. And so I went down to the local DIY store, bought a replacement. I thought this is going to be fairly simple. Bought a replacement and then discovered that it could only fit it from the outside. There was a problem with that. Number one, I didn't have a ladder. And number two, even if I did have a ladder, I hate going up ladders. I'm not good on ladders. You know, once you get above the second rung, that's me done. You know, I do not do ladders at all. And so I had this situation. The only way to fit this fan was from the outside of the house, first floor window, haven't got a ladder. If I had, I couldn't climb it. What do I do? And so my first thought immediately was, who do I know at church who's got a ladder? Who do I know at church who's good up ladders? I'll get them to help me. But then I remembered that my next door neighbor, Ian, had a ladder because I'd seen him up a ladder doing some work on his own house. And so I decided, no, I won't go to my church friends. I'll just go and ask my neighbor. So I went and knocked on his door. And this was actually a double request. It was not just, please, can I borrow your ladder, but please, can I borrow your ladder and you? And will you please go up the ladder on the outside of my house and hold this extractor fan in place from the outside so I can then fix the fittings from the inside? Would you be willing to help me in that way? Because I hate going up ladders. I just don't do ladders. And he said, yeah, of course I will. So he went and got his ladder. And he went up the ladder, and with him on the outside and me on the inside, we fitted the extractor fan together, and it worked wonderfully. And then he came down, and outside I said, thank you so much, Ian, that really has helped me, because I hate going up ladders. And he said, so do I. Oh, wow. He didn't mention that beforehand, but he did it. And I'd love to tell you that the end of the story was, he then became a Christian because I spoke to him about Jacob's ladder to heaven. But no, it didn't go like that. But what happened was this, our friendship just moved up a level. And it became that little bit warmer and that little bit friendlier because there was a willingness to ask for help and be vulnerable. And he even was a bit vulnerable back, saying, yeah, I hate going up ladders as well. And just that sense of asking for help And making yourself vulnerable builds relationship. It makes you a good neighbor. And where we are now, we go away from time to time. In fact, our neighbors have said to us, they think we spend more time away from home than we actually spend at home. They think we're permanently on holiday. It's absolutely not true, I hasten to say. But we take Fridays a day off, and sometimes we'll go and stay with family or do something. And so they seem to think that we are regularly going off on holiday. It's not true. I do work here. I don't just come on a Sunday. I do work here during the week as well. But when we go away in the summer, it's good to have someone to come in and water the plants in the back garden. But because our house is a mid-terrace house, and there is no access to the garden other than through the house, you physically cannot get into our garden other than going through the house, that means if you're going to get someone to water the plants in the garden, you've actually got to give them a key, and they've got to be able to go through your house to get to the garden. And so at first we thought, well, who do we know from St. Bees who lives nearby that we could give a key to so that they could come in and we could ask them to water the plants? Then we realized the person who lived closest is Ray Worrell. He's a bit of a joker. And I thought, do I really want to give my key to Ray Worrell? Because I don't know what state my house would be in when it gets back. So we scrapped that idea. He's probably in the family worships. Don't mention. Don't tell him I said that. But we thought, who could we give a key to from St. Bees? And then a couple of years ago, we were challenged about this whole area of relating to neighbors. And so we decided the next time we went away, rather than asking for someone from St. Bees to come in, we'd just ask one of the neighbors and we'd give them a key to our house. Someone that we don't know all that well. We knew their name. We chatted a little bit, but we didn't really know them very well. But we just said to them, if we gave you a key to our house, would you be willing to come through the house and water the plants in the garden? And they said, yes. And they did. Nothing went missing. It was fine. And as a result of that, the relationship just got that little bit better. And so last summer, when I had my ordination to the priesthood here, I was able to say to my neighbor, do you want to come along? And they came. And then earlier this year, when we did the Queen's 90th birthday celebration, Anne was able to say to them, do you want to come to that as well? And she and another neighbor both came, because we'd built the relationship by asking for help, making yourself that little bit vulnerable. Ancient wisdom for modern living. Do not go to your relative's house when disaster strikes you. Better a neighbor nearby than a relative far away. And we haven't even begun to unpack the sense of it being when disaster strikes. You know, when things really go wrong, when things are at crisis stage, when you're at your most vulnerable, then to ask your neighbors for help. There's something about showing vulnerability and making yourself vulnerable in a crisis that builds relationships. Even the theme tune of Neighbours gets that point, because, as you all know, neighbours should be there for one another, because that's when good neighbours become good friends. So let's pull it all together. God is calling us, we believe, to focus on starting more neighbourhood missional communities. So that's going to mean relating well to and reaching out to neighbours. And nearly 3,000 years ago, Solomon gave us some practical skills for living in God's world. And they include some very practical advice on how to relate to your neighbors. Don't visit your neighbors too often, or you'll wear out your welcome. Take it slowly. If anyone blesses their neighbor early in the morning with a loud voice, it will be taken as a curse. Bless your neighbors in appropriate ways that are a blessing to them. Better a neighbor nearby than a relative far away. Make yourself vulnerable. Ask for help. One final invitation to you, and it's linked to that first thought of taking it slowly. We don't want to rush into this and start doing unhelpful things. But what might be a first step for some of us in this whole area of being a good neighbor? We're not going to set the bar very high this morning. We're going to set the bar quite low. I want you to think about the people who live near you, the actual people, not imaginary people, real people who live near you, that you've seen regularly, but you don't know their names. I'm sure there will be people in that category. We know the names of the neighbors on each side of us, this side and one opposite and one other, but the other people in the road around us, we don't know their names, or if we did, I've forgotten them. But we know some, but not all. So think about someone who lives near you, who you've seen quite regularly, but you just don't know their name. And ask God for an opportunity, maybe this week or in the very near future, an opportunity to bump into them and have a conversation that goes like this. This is the script. I want you to memorize the script. You say something like, "Hi there, you know, I've lived in this area now for 7 years, and I've seen you often, but I realize we don't even know each other's names. My name is," and tell them your name. That's all at this stage. Just say something like that. We've walked past each other for years, and you don't even know my name. My name is David. Don't say David, because that's not your name. You know what I mean? Say your name at that point. Now, hopefully, they will say, "Oh, yeah, my name is," and they'll tell you their name. So you found out their name. And then at that point, the next part of the conversation goes like this. You just say, "Thanks, Joe. Now at least I know the name of the person I'm going to walk past." And leave it at that. That's it. The bar is not high this morning, folks. The bar is very low. That's the bar. But for some of us, it is still a bar, isn't it? It's a bar that we haven't yet got over, where we've just taken that first step of saying, wouldn't it be great to actually know our neighbor's names? Being a good neighbor starts with the simple things. And so once you've done that, then three other things to do. The first thing to do is, at the first opportunity, not whilst they're there, because that's a bit weird, but at the first opportunity, write their name down somewhere. Because otherwise, like me, in 3 days' time, you'll be going, "Oh, what was it? Was it Alan? Was it Andrew? No, it was a woman." You know, just write it down somewhere. That's a simple thing. Can you do that? Yeah. And then when you're writing it down, just take a moment and ask God to bless them. Don't put any detail around it. Just say, "God, will you bless my neighbor, Joe?" Just start to pray that. "God, will you bless them?" And then the next time you see them, just greet them by name. Just say, "Hi, Joe," isn't it? "Hi, Joe." And leave it at that. And then just see where it goes. Just see where God takes it as you start to do the obvious, normal, natural things of just getting to know people's names and starting to build good relationships. Let's have the worship band back up as we stand together to pray and ask God to help us to be good neighbors. We haven't got a worship song that says everybody needs good neighbors, and we're not going to sing the neighbors theme tune. But let's stand together and pray, and then Ruth will lead us in an appropriate song just to wrap up and round off what we're saying together. Father, thank you. Thank you that you have put it into our hearts to start more neighborhood missional communities. And we recognize that what that means for us is that we need to learn how to be good neighbors. And we need you to help us. So we're simply this morning saying, Lord, by your Spirit, help us in this really simple, practical, down-to-earth subject of being good neighbors. Help us to apply your ancient wisdom to our modern living. Give us in the coming days, we ask, an opportunity to have that conversation with one neighbor, that at the end of it, they will know our name and we will know their name. And then we trust you to take that relationship where you want it to go. So God, come by your Spirit, we pray, and equip us with every spiritual gifting to be good neighbors. Amen.